hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Eben. We thank God for another Saturday. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And I'll first start with the news. We talk about some of the things happening, and then we'll continue with the deception, the end time deception, from the way the globalists are pushing. You can listen to last two weeks edition online, spiritissues.info, and for those in the Telegram group too, you can have it there. So tonight I'll be continuing from where I left off last week. You know, actually, we are living in very interesting times. Very, very interesting times. Look at the news. Look at the way the society has become. Things are happening. No one has to tell you these are the times the Bible talks about. I mean, it's very obvious. But sometimes people really don't see it that way. I'm Eben, and I believe we are going to be blessed as we start this evening's edition. Greetings to listeners outside and within. I believe those online, outside the country, you know, special greetings to all of you out there. Okay, so let's get going. Start with the UK, okay, England, where we have outrage as Church of England Archbishop claims, saying, "Our Father," that's in the normal prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," and saying, "Our Father" is problematic. So the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell said in a speech that the term may upset people whose genetic fathers were abusive and for people who have labored under the oppressive patriarchy. The Lord's Prayer, considered the most important Christian prayer, begins, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God is also referred to in the text of the prayer as he and him in various points. But in a welcome address at the General Synod, the Church's Legislative Assembly in York, Mr. Cottrell said that the, quote, "God to whom we pray is Father," the Telegraph reported. He added, "And yes, I know the word Father is problematic for those whose experience of earthly fathers has been destructive and abusive, and for all of us who have labored rather too much from an oppressively patriarchal grip on life," unquote. His comments provoked criticism from some in the church, who asked if he was suggesting that Jesus may have been mistaken when he taught his disciples the prayer. Canon Dr. Chris Sugden, chairman of Anglican Mainstream, said, "Is the Archbishop of York saying Jesus was wrong, or that Jesus was not pastorally aware? I can't believe he's doing that consciously, but that's the impression it gives." You know, these days you hear all sorts of criticism of the word, criticism of things which have been in existence, in Christianity for centuries. And then it's like suddenly now we have a set of wise human beings who think all the history, the things, all these things are wrong. Anyway, I'll be getting more into it when we get to after the news, the things I'll be talking about. Then we also have evangelicals in Church of England, warn bishops not to commend blessings for same-sex couples. So evangelicals in the Church of England are urging bishops not to commend blessings for same-sex couples. And then they argue that it would be unlawful and unconstitutional and illegitimate for the bishops to commend the blessings and called prayers of love and faith, according to Church Times. Goes on to say that in a joint letter to the College of Bishops, they contend that responsibility for this should instead fall to the synod under Canon B2, which requires 2/3 majority to be reached in each of the synod's 3 houses. The letter has been signed by 27 evangelicals, including former vicar of HTB, they mentioned their names, and leaders of Prayer Book Society, The New Mind, Forward in Faith, and others. At its last meeting in February, Synod backed the prayers of love and faith. Bishops have since been working to refine the prayers and draft new pastoral guidance for priests. And then an update on the progress made so far will be delivered to the July meeting of Synod, and that's taking place this weekend. A paper released ahead of the Synod states the House and College have considered the range of routes presented by the group, including the Canon B5 commendation of the prayers, and then B4 approval of the convocations, archbishops or ordinary, and B2 approval by the General Synod. They are particularly weighing up the option of approval by the archbishops under Canon B4-2 as an approach that may provide more legal protection for those ministers who choose to use the prayers. You know, one question that sometimes should be asked is, why should there even be a time in the body of Christ that some people will have to remind those in authority about what the Bible stands for regarding marriage? I mean, why should we even get to this point where some people have to remind these bishops that marriage is between male and female? And I mean, it's serious. This week in our parliament in Ghana, the bill got to the plenary, and it was quite an interesting scene at the point, you know. But so far, all the 275 MPs, now the way it is, even if you don't support Christ, you can't say no, because when the speaker asks anyone who has any objections or any negative or opposing views, it's like everybody is silent because the whole Ghana is watching. And if you say you are a man or a woman, you lift up your hand and say that you stand against it, and I can tell you that your next election, the parliament or power, their own kubium, you lose. Oh yeah, because the way Ghanaians are wild of this thing. So, well, for now, let's see how the debates goes on and how. As for the bill, that they will pass it, yes. But, you know, a bill is useless unless it is signed into law. That is where the issue will be. As to whether it will be signed, well, time will tell. But that one too is something else. Okay, then we have parent wins back job after voicing objection to school's gender ideology lessons. So a Christian parent governor at a local primary school in UK has won back her position after being dismissed for voicing her concerns about the school's trans-affirming sex education policy, as the High Court ruled in her favor and reinstated her to the governing body. And, you know, seriously, UK has become something else. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, the reports, the news, all sorts of things. And I've seen one or two, I think two or so, three or something. I mean, MPs really voicing their concerns and worries about how the education is going. But it looks like, you know, it seems there's been a grand plan over the years to groom these satanic and evil teachers to be in place to push this agenda. So some of these things are being done even on the blind side of authorities, and that's where even the worry is. So it's like you have a real agenda on the move, and it's really serious. It's really serious because, you know, sometimes you see some of the things being taught, the books being used, and you wonder. You just wonder, what is the whole essence of education? I mean, if this is what is being pushed to these kids, it's like intentionally contaminate them, intentionally destroy them into lifestyles, which, you know, obviously is not good. Then in the U.S., Portland City, a government tells staff to avoid mentioning pregnant women and citizens, the words, this word, I mean, pregnant women and citizens in the woke language directive. You know, so they've told staff, as government workers, to completely remove the female aspect from pregnancy terms. And ironically, this week, the U.S. Center for Disease Centers, CDC, issued a directive as to pregnancy, how to men. So not to say breastfeeding again, but now you have to say chest feeding, because chest feeding, okay. men, some men can breastfeed, so chest feeding. You know, seriously, this generation is serious, because it's like, and some doctors are worried about it, because these men who claim they can breastfeed are taking chemicals and all sorts of things to force this, their so-called breasts to come up, and then to really, you see, the way God has created his planned thing, female to be the mothers. Now, men are saying they want to be mothers by force. So they are doing surgeries, drinking all sorts of things, chemicals. So some doctors are raising the issue that these chemicals in these men, if even they are able to generate any milk at all, as they think or they say they are, some claim they are, they will be laden with chemicals, which will eventually still not be safe for these children, because no one has tested the efficacy and the side effects. No one has done these things. So why this push by the CDC of all institutions to encourage this chest feeding, as they call it, they claim. So, because the agenda is, if you say breastfeeding, you are being biased to the females. So, but the men too can say breast. They can, if they say they are women, they've turned women, they should also call themselves breastfeeding. Why this chest feeding then? You know, but that's the times we are in. It's horrible. Sometimes you just ask yourself, so what is really going through the minds of these people? This week I was listening, I mean, a number of times, the book of Genesis, the audio Bible, and, you know, the dramatized one. As I listened to the story of Lot and the angels and all that, and I listened to this encounter, I was listening to it, and I just marvel as to how our generation, because really, really speaking, if you take the story of Lot, I mean, Sodom and all that aspect of it, I mean, it's not that much in terms of the content. From the little description that is given, then they were at KG level if it comes to sin. Yes, per the standards of sin that we know now, they will be at KG level, and this generation is already moving around PhD level in these things, because the things we are seeing in our generation is nowhere near what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were doing. All sorts of things, this transgender and all this abusive children thing, and we are coming after your children, you know, placards, men, naked men moving on the street, in the streets, placards with whatever colors on their signages, and we are coming after your children. You see, they mean what they are saying. You know, when they say they are coming after the children, they exactly, I mean, these words are exactly the same. I mean, they mean these words. They are not joking. And that's exactly what is happening with the educational system out there in the West, and, you know, all that. I think these are times we can be satisfied, quote and unquote, satisfied with our education system like that, because in as much as we are not satisfied, I mean, generally satisfied with the the standard as it should be. I mean, GES and the educational ministry, all sorts of games they've been playing with education. At least morally, we can say that we are better off. Oh yes, we are better off than what is happening out there in the developed, so-called developed countries. Because if this is what you call development, then we might as well stay in a little corner like that with what we have. All right, so back in the UK, withholding money for a family member's gender transition can be considered abuse according to new UK guidance. So parents would be susceptible to prosecution under the new definition of abusive. Family members who withhold money for gender transition or refuse to use preferred pronouns could be considered abusive, according to UK guidance, making them susceptible to prosecution. Although not an exhausted list, some examples of how trans and non-binary people may be abused by intimate partners or family members include withholding money for transitioning and refusing to use their preferred name or pronoun, according to the UK's Code for Crown Prosecution Service, CPS, used when considering domestic abuse offences. Former prosecutor and legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom UK, Jeremiah Egondubo, said the new rules will put the police force and government for officers in the intensely difficult and inappropriate position of making politicized judgments against parents. He also said the guidance will only further confuse the public and prosecutors because it fails to acknowledge that there is no legal obligation for anyone to use someone's preferred pronouns and that parents have the primary responsibility for the development and upbringing of their children as protected by international law. So in effect, what they are trying to say is you have a son. Your son goes to school. The school decides to help your son to transition to be a girl. Now you, the parents, you refuse to recognize the son as a girl, or even whilst transitioning, you refuse to be part of it, you refuse to bear the cost, the bills and all that. You can be charged under this new guidance. Refusing to call her by whichever name, her preferred name or pronoun. So whom you are calling him the same male name. Now the child says, I prefer to be called a she name, a female name. And you insist on calling this child the name you gave to this son during the outdooring. Now this son can report to you and you will be taken on as a parent for abusing this child by refusing to use the preferred pronoun he or she has adopted to transition into. It's serious. Oh no, it's something else because it's... How can a parent now be held captive against his own wishes for the child? But that's it. That's the world. That's the world we are in now. Now we go to the United Nations, another agency. This headline says, exceptionally radical, quote unquote, exceptionally radical. UN report says anti-LGBT religious beliefs not protected human rights. So a key advisor for the United Nations suggested in a recent report that discriminatory positions of prejudice are not protected by religious freedom rights. A report, one advocacy group said, could have exceptionally radical implications for Bible-believing Christians. Costa Rican lawyer Victor Madrigal Bolos, whose official title is Independent Expert on Protection Against Violence and Discrimination Based on Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, one title, Abba, for the United Nations, made the statement in a presentation to the United Nations Human Rights Council on June 21st. In his report to the council, Madrigal Bolos blamed, quote, religious communities, unquote, for violence, discrimination, and exclusion towards gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender identified people. after receiving testimony from various LGBT identified people over the last 6 years, Madrigal Bulos said he frequently came across similar situations in which someone who wished to pursue happiness by embracing their sexual orientation or gender identity was deterred by the prospect that the religion in which they were born would consider them as sinful or evil, as inherently immoral or not worthy of transcendence. In one of the report's more targeted allegations, Madrigal also referenced dark corners where LGBT people are regarded as sinners, an obvious reference to the biblical teaching of various Christian denominations. There we go. There we go. Now they are targeting the church. He also blames that theology for aiding in the denial of the right to equality for LGBT identified people. Laws enacted with the aim of mandating standards of conduct purportedly demanded by interpretations of religious dogma effectively deny LGBT and other gender diverse persons the right to equality and often equal recognition under the law, he wrote. Madrigal equated the hate speech against LGBT identified people with positing LGBT individuals as a threat to the traditional family and integrating religious doctrines to exclude and promote violence and discrimination against homosexuality and gender nonconformity. Religious freedoms, he added, are not adequate legal protection for anyone who uses these beliefs for not only religious violence but also denial of the human rights of LGBT persons. Violent and discriminatory positions of prejudice are beyond the international legal protections of religious and other beliefs, he said. Madrigal is the same UN advisor who in 2020 called for an international ban on so-called conversion therapy, which is already banned in several US states. While the report does not establish a new UN policy or guidelines, the Office of Independent Expert, which works on a voluntary basis, acts as the eyes and ears of the body and presents recommendations based on its findings. So what does all this mean for Christians and people of other faiths? Ariel Del Turco, the director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the socially conservative advocacy organization Family Research Council and co-author of Heroic Faith, Hope Amid Global Persecution, called the report staggering and warned it could potentially lay the groundwork for more religious interference from the United Nations. Whilst purporting to address violence against LGBT-identified groups, Del Turco said the report does not speak to violence, but rather the failure of the religious groups to affirm LGBT identity or behavior. So by the UN independent experts making this report and supposedly trying to find a way for LGBT rights and religious freedom to coexist, we see even that at the very core of the report is a huge elevation for LGBT rights, she told the Christian Post. And so for the United Nations advisor, that's a real problem. And he's trying to get religious groups on board for affirming these identities and behaviors. Another troubling issue, Del Turco said, is that with this report, the UN appears to be acting as theological or ideological authority for the religions of the world. Let me repeat. He said that the UN appears to be acting as a theological or ideological authority for the religions of the world. Essentially, this UN report is telling religious groups that we ourselves are interpreting our own religions incorrectly, and actually, our religions probably do affirm some of these LGBT behaviors, do affirm gender ideology, she said. That is exceptionally radical. Del Turco said much of what is at stake here is not merely religious freedom, but freedom of speech. She pointed one section of the UN report titled Hate Speech and Incitement which includes a discussion on how religious communities discuss LGBT topics. For example, when Christian communities talk about sin, according to their reading of the Bible, that's a problem to these LGBT activists who are now running the United Nations, she said. I think this is just a recipe for more and more religious freedom violations around the world. And indeed, she's right. She's right. I mean, eventually, you see, the whole thing is about Christianity. They are targeting Christianity, the Bible. The Bible is the target. You see, what is the reference to sin? What book are we using as Christians to make reference to this is a sin? It's the Word of God, the Bible. And that is what they are targeting, because they think, or they keep saying that, yes, the Word of God is a bigoted book, is a hate book, is all this and that and that and that. So that is why one of the agenda I'm talking about today, I mean, continuing the series of the deception, is the target on the Word of God, to demonize it, to make it look like it's not really as important as we think it is and all that. But let me finish with this last news item, and then we get into that aspect. And this one is one news item which is very worrying. I'm not surprised, but it's worrying. This is in Germany. Researchers find surprisingly low use of the Bible amongst Protestants, Catholics and Protestants in Germany. And to anyone who understands history, church history a bit, the Bible history, printing history, Germany is the center of it. You know, Martin Luther, you know, German. Then the Gutenberg Press, I mean, the first printing press in the world, I mean, Germany. See, so the technology of Bible, printing the Bible, started in Germany. So if after almost, is it 400 years or something thereabout, we now have this same country that first had access to printed Bible, now not reading the Bible, it tells us something. Okay, let me get into the news. It says, a new study from the theologians at the University of Leipzig, finds that only 1.6% of the German population reads the Bible at least once a day. Only 1.6%. In other words, if you take 1,000 people, only 16. For every 1,000 people you take, only 16. Read the Bible once a day. At least once a day. And only 3.2% read it every week. So if you take 1,000 people, you have only 32 out of that 1,000 who read the Bible every week. Despite half of its population identifying as Protestant or Catholic. Considering the country's religious demographics and the fact that it is home to Martin Luther and the Protestantism, researchers said they found the low use of the Bible amongst both Protestants and Catholics surprising. Oh yes, it's really, really, really surprising. Led by sociologist of religion Professor Gert Pickel and the Professor Alexander Dog, from the Institute of Practical Theology at the University of Leipzig. The study was the product of a 2022 survey of 1,209 Germans with and without church ties, in which researchers say is the first representative all-German study on this topic. The study, funded by the German Research Foundation, surveyed German residents aged 16 and older, who were randomly selected and questioned about the topic by telephone or digitally. A third of the respondents identified as non-denominational, another third as Protestant, and the final third as Catholic. Less than a third, 30%, say they open the scriptures approximately once a year. Whoa, that's... 30% say that they open the Bible once a year. The whole year, only once. 365 days, open the Bible only once. we see that the number of non-readers is high, Pekel said. Researchers said, while similar studies on Bible use in the United States are common, relatively little is known about the topic in Germany, with the last such study on Bible piety dating back nearly 40 years to the 1980s. In 2014, roughly twice as many Germans, that's 3.1%, read the Bible daily, according to researchers. So, 2014, 3.1%. And then 2022, 1.6. Wow. Hey, and by 2040, More men than women said they pick up the Bible, researchers added. Among those surveyed who said they did not read the Bible, an overwhelming majority, 80%, said they did not view the themes of the Bible as relevant for their personal life. Even as 63% of those who identified as non-readers said they still believe the scriptures as a source of common norms and values for society. The research team also clarified that while the study's result might seem contradictory, it is not the proportion of the Bible readers that has fallen, but the frequency of use. With most Bible socialization occurring between the ages 4 and 14, the chances of someone having a first encounter with the Bible beyond the age is rather rare, according to the study. Whilst most of those surveyed came across the Bible in church services, other places of socialization of the Bible included religious lessons in schools, church confirmation services, and personal teachings by parents and grandparents, Pickle stated. Dig also said, surprisingly, high number of people with an interest in biblical content might point to more innovation when it comes to introducing the scriptures to people beyond the walls of the church. He pointed to the 929 project in Israel, in which a large community of believers daily reads one of the 929 chapters of the Hebrew Bible, known as the Tanakh, and then discusses the reading via mobile app. That would also be something for Germany. I'm already in talks with the church about this, said Dick. The study's findings aren't entirely surprising. An international study published in May found that Germany's European neighbors in the United Kingdom had some of the lowest levels of religiosity and belief in God in the world. The study by the King's College London's Policy Institute found that many Britons do not believe in God, and while the number of those who say God is not important to their life is the highest since the 1980s, researchers found that the belief in heaven and those praying and identifying as religious have also steadily fallen over the last 4 decades. This is something else. Because, you see, the agenda is working. Demonize the Bible, attack the Bible, criticize the Bible, make it, brand it like a book written by men, a book that is bigoted, anti-LGBT, all these branding and all that, and it is causing people to move away gradually from it, because the foundation of these people in the first place is already shaky. Because if you know God for yourself and you have a relationship with God for yourself through his word, no one has to tell you these things for you to stop reading the word of God. So you see, the first challenge or the first problem is the people who have really fallen away from where they used to be in the first place, had a shaky start or shaky foundation in their faith. So they hear these things and they drift away so easily. You know, the earlier news I read, in which the UN reports is talking about the religions, obviously the main religion they are referring to is the Christians that they are referring to, the Bible. You see, so the UN report makes it look like, well, the Bible is, addressing these social things as sin. So why it's not fair, it's a biased book representation and all that. That has been the song these globalists has been, they've been singing through their liberal media and entertainment powerful networks, demonizing the Bible as bigoted and homophobic and all that. And you see, when you hear these things, it is just meant to undermine the power of the Word of God. It is meant to undermine what the Word of God is. But, you know, you and I have to understand who we are and what the Bible really is to us. And with the program is Issues of Life, I'll be back after this song by Amy Grant. Okay. Thy Word.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Feel afraid, think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near.
I don't like it when the Bible talks about hell or God's judgment.
Well then, you need the Erasable Bible.
The Erasable Bible?
A Bible completely printed with the same graphite used in number 2 pencils. Now you can easily remove that objectionable material.
Now I can read only the parts I want?
That's right. Pick and choose which doctrine you want to follow.
As a pastor, I used to be concerned about how I would preach on those difficult parts of the Bible. Now, with my Erasable Bible, I don't challenge or offend anyone, and my congregation loves me all the more.
Thanks, Erasable Bible, for allowing me to live my lifestyle.
The Word of God says that there will come a time when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers that say what their itching ears want to hear. It tells us to preach the Word, to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Are you listening to all of God's Word? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
This is Scoop Walker and
Grillum for God.
We're here today with Andy Blunder, who stands out as a Christian.
Thanks, Scoop. That's Bolander.
Right. So tell us, Mr. Blunder, what makes you different?
Well, I just read my Bible and pray, Scoop.
Without using bumper stickers, people still know you're a Christian. Why?
Well, it's kind of amazing, Scoop, but every morning I read the Bible and pray to God, and God takes care of the rest.
Is it the church you go to, a certain Bible study you attend?
Well, those help, Scoop. But I find that prayer in the Bible really helped me to get close to God.
Come on, Andy. What do you really do?
Well, I'm telling you, a prayer...
Andy, our listening audience really wants to know your secret.
Fine. I stick my feet in cold spaghetti and read the Bible and pray.
So that's the secret. Cold spaghetti.
And prayer in the Bible.
You heard it here first, folks.
No, I was joking.
To get close to God, Andy says cold spaghetti.
No, it's prayer in the Bible.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the word of God for you there. You know, that's it reads about Bibles. I mean, I really like that part, because that's exactly what this generation is doing. Oh, this Bible, the Bible says this is homophobic, LGBT, so you know, let's, if they can have that, that's exactly what they will do. Erase up, they remove all those portions of sin, fornication, adultery, all these sins they think is attacking their lifestyle, so they don't like the Bible. You know, whenever you hear someone attacking the word of God, you should know whatever he's talking about it, and the Bible says, it's that thing that he is addressing. That means that is his lifestyle that the Bible is addressing. So because he feels uncomfortable, then he is fighting it. That's the only reason. Because if you are not living in adultery, and the Bible talks about adultery being a sin, what is your problem with that? If you are not... practicing gay, and the Bible says you should not, this is abominable before God. What is your problem about that? You see, so the people who express these aggressive actions and attacks against the Bible, it is their lifestyle that the word of God is mirroring to them. They read and they see that, this is me the Bible is talking about. And their guilty conscience makes them, okay, then we'll fight the word of God, we'll fight the Bible. You know, I like the song by Immigrant because she addresses something interesting, where she talks about thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I mean, that's Psalms 119, I think, 105, I think. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you are there right beside me, and nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near to me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will never forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2 Timothy 3:16, a very common one. All scripture, not some, not most. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the world, the UN, is telling us that the Bible cannot be talking about for reproof and for correction, because to say that these lifestyles is a sin or are sins means there's something wrong with the word of God. See, so now it's like this erasable Bible thing. Don't say that these lifestyles are sins. So, what should the Bible say? God allows it? Or God is in love with these lifestyles? They are pushing this agenda of questioning the authenticity of the Bible first, questioning the relevance of the Bible in modern day AI era 2023? Do we still need the Bible? And the survey in Germany reflects this feedback the society is giving to these actions. Because if you have such low numbers of people who, you see, what is worrying about this German statistics is that they claim they are Christians. It's not that they are unbelievers. So this survey is among people who say they are Christians, Protestants, or Catholics. So you see, so they are not, these are not atheists. They are not saying they are atheists. They are not saying they don't believe in God. But the people, these numbers, because Germany is a high religious country. So these are people who really affirm that they know God. They are not, they've not denied that they don't know God. But you see, when the foundation of your belief in God, which is the word of God being part of it, is being undermined in your eyes and in your mind unconsciously, to the point where now you don't see the importance of it. Because in the survey, some who were interviewed, some said that they don't relate the word of God with their present lives now. So what's the use? Why read the word of God every morning? You know, what's the big deal? I don't need it. Because, you see, progression in life can also come with some of these unfortunate instances where, you know, in a progressive, economically sound society like Germany, the average person having a good cost of, I mean, lifestyle and all that. I mean, what's the big deal? Why do I need the word of God? And it's one of the reasons why in these advanced societies, the demand for the word of God is diminishing, because people don't see it as relevant to their lives again. Because, I mean, imagine someone who has $1 million in his account. I mean, he doesn't see the word of God for what? Why should I read my Bible every morning and pray? I don't need God. I was able to achieve $1 million by my own hard work and sweat. So why should I keep praying and reading the word? I can still work hard based on my connections and my knowledge and skill and maintain the money and even get more. You see, so we think we don't need God. That's the bottom line. Society thinks now we don't need God. Of course, his word of God, his word is representative of him in our lives, like as they see it. So the word is him, is God. You don't need God. So if I don't need God, then I don't need his word. And this is where we have to be careful. We who are listening, you and I, who still believe in God and still stand by the word of God and believe that is the word, the power is inspired by the Holy Spirit and all that, we have to be careful and guard our hearts. Because you see, that's why I started talking about the Gutenberg Press, Germany, the history of printing press, printing the Bibles first and all that, the Martin Luther Reformation and all these things starting in Germany. See, these are societies that were exposed to God. And still, that's why I said it's still a highly religious society. I mean, if you know somebody in Germany, the old people and all, they don't joke with going to church and all that. You see, so it's still a religious society. But you see, we have to understand there's a difference between being religious and really being spiritual and walking in the spirit, being led by the spirit. There are differences. You can be religious, highly religious, but you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You are not led by the spirit. You are not filled with the spirit. So, you see, unconsciously, people are satisfied with being religious. And they think that is good enough. But we should understand that the devil is comfortable if you are religious. He's okay with that. Because that one, you don't pose any threat to his kingdom. You don't pose any threat to him. As a matter of fact, most times when they get to that religious position, they end up becoming, they are more lukewarm and almost as good as nothing. I mean, because what's the use of you believing? Oh, you see, if you push these people, are you even born again? You realize that no, they are not born again. But they said they know God, they go to church and all, but they are not born again. They've not accepted Jesus Christ as their savior and all that. You see, so there's a blurred area where people, we are going to church, we are Christians. You do the survey, we are Christians. You talk to them, we are Christians. But are they living as Christians, then the problem comes. So because of these attitudes, the Bible is the first to go. I mean, because the Bible, if you are to read it, the Word of God, it will sharpen you. You see your wrongs, it will improve, it will correct you. The reproof will come. Your conscience, you read it, it washes your mind, you know, renewal of your mind, the Word as you read. See, so they don't want these things. They don't want these things at all. So they are just okay with their low standard of Christianity where they are. But I'm saying these things as a warning and a wake-up call to us, because these people who today are saying they don't need the Word of God, it will amaze you that if they are to do the survey and ask them how many were the past, in the previous years or the decades, the older ones, the previous 2-3 decades, 4 decades ago, were they reading the Word of God? And you'll be amazed that majority will say yes, they were. So what happened? So if we are reading the Word of God today, we still believe in the Word of God today, we have it and we hold it and we cherish it, we should not be complacent, because others have been where we are and now they are saying they don't need it again. Why? Because the things they keep hearing, the atmosphere, the environment, the society, the information they are exposed to, it keeps undermining the Word in them. It keeps undermining, to the point where now you don't see the relevance again. And you see, the society that you live in plays a key role. What you hear, you see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So now, if you are not hearing the Word of God, and you keep hearing the negativity, undermining, attacking the Word, media, entertainment industry, attacking the Word, the socialites, or whatever they call themselves, the celebrities, undermining the Word, attacking the Word. If you are not careful, you become affected, because you see, the contamination in the society eventually begins to seep into you, and it's a gradual effect by the time you realize you are acting on it. So we should guard our heart with all diligence, you know, because it's the attack on the Word is not going to stop. I mean, let's get it clear. The attack on the Word is not going to stop. Actually, it's going to get worse. It will not be long, the UN will start coming up with statements directly attacking the Word of God. Oh yes, you know, what I read, it just gives us an excerpt of what is ahead. Because eventually, the Word of God, the Bible will be demonized. We'll get to a point where it will be ostracized, it will be a contraband good, it will be banned. We'll get to that point. Oh yes, we'll get there. But till then, we use it, we still have it, the printing presses are still printing it, but a time will come when it will be banned. You will not get it to buy, you will not have access to it. You see, and the way the world is moving, it looks like it will not be that long, because the pressure is really increasing. Oh yes, we are really moving very fast, you know. So we really have to guard our hearts, you know. And this theme, the title of this program, Issues of Life, you know, it comes from Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So let's keep our hearts with all. You see, we have to do everything to guard our hearts. We should do everything to guard our hearts, because there is a real agenda from the globalist system, the liberal systems, attacking the Word. The Word of God, the Bible, they are attacking it strongly. That's why we should get it into our spirits, we should get it into our hearts. If you form the habit of really getting the Word into you, you get to the point where now you can't go a day without it. I mean, I'm amazed. How can someone say I'm a Christian and a whole year you open the Bible once? I mean, I just can't, my mind can't process it. Once a whole year, January 1st, 31st December, the worker said, yes, and let me open the Bible. Wow. No. I mean, you see, it just beats my imagination how someone can claim to be a Christian. And your conscience, I mean, so clearly, see, these people say they are Christians, but they are not Christians. I mean,
for statistical purposes, yes, they will say they are Christians. But from the spiritual point of view, proper assessment of who a Christian is. I mean, you cannot be a Christian and you open your Bible once in a year. Even that, how many verses? Maybe just one verse. A whole year. You just open your Bible, just one verse or one or two verses. At most, one page. Not even a chapter, perhaps. No. But when we see these things happening to people in a country that the Bible was first printed in the Bible where the Protestants started from, and today we are also able to have the Word of God. When you see these same people now saying they are reading, some saying they are reading the Bible once a year, be surprised and be shocked. But above all, use it as a lesson to warn yourself and assure yourself that no, you will not be complacent with what you have. Because complacency, you think, oh, we have the word. It was a big deal, we have the word. Little by little, if care is not taken, we can be like those people. Oh yes, we can be like them. But let's guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. I'm Eben, and the program is Issues of Life. I'm ending it this evening. The recording will be on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group as well, Spirit Issues. So, God bless you. Thank you for listening. And let me finish with this part of it.
Talks about hell or God's judgment.
Well then, you need the Erasable Bible.
The Erasable Bible?
A Bible completely printed with the same graphite used in number 2 pencils. Now you can easily remove that objectionable material.
Now I can read only the parts I want?
That's right. Pick and choose which doctrine you want to follow.
As a pastor, I used to be concerned about how I would preach on those difficult parts of the Bible. Now, with my Erasable Bible, I don't challenge or offend anyone, and my congregation loves me all the more.
Thanks, Erasable Bible, for allowing me to live my lifestyle.
The Word of God says that there will come a time when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers that say what their itching ears want to hear. It tells us to preach the Word, to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Are you listening to all of God's Word? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are.